All right, Joshua chapter 8 this evening, as we look at the Word of God, I've entitled this sermon, A Lesson Learned. A Lesson Learned. The surest thing the world needs are Christians who are not living in fear and responding to life in hastiness and emotionalism. We need to be led of the Lord and of the Spirit of God, though Israel had been defeated at Ai, and they saw lives ruined and destroyed because of their mistakes. The leader Joshua listened and obeyed the words of the Lord on how to lead Israel. And Joshua would take responsibility, lead over Israel to ensure they were walking in the ways of the Lord. He was very specific in all that he did here in this passage. And as a result, Israel prevailed in the exact way that the Lord had detailed. There really is a dearth of men and husbands willing to live their life under the instruction of the Lord, and as a result, and not in the impulsiveness and lust of the flesh, reacting to life through their own senses. Homes are being ruined, as we saw in the account of Achan. Families are being torn apart, as we saw men die in the first encounter at Ai. But our God has given us a sure method to victory for our families and our marriages. The key is obedience. We do not need to yield the bait of Satan, thinking that any hobby, job, family gathering, or personal pursuits could ever provide greater riches than what God wants to give to you. So here in Joshua chapter 8, I want to read a little bit lengthier of a passage this evening, to give you some of the idea of what's going on here, the context of this passage. We're going to be looking at really a lesson learned, ideas of how to make decisions and how not to make decisions based upon the text with which we are reading. In Joshua chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king, only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it." So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 men of valor and sent them away by night, and he commanded them, saying, "Behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach into the city, and it shall come to pass, when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us, till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, They flee before us, as at the first, therefore we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush, and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you." Joshua, therefore, sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai, on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people, and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up, and drew nigh, and came before the city, and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men, and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people at a time appointed before the plain. But he wist not that there were liers in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them, and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them, and they pursued after Joshua. And were drawn away from the city, and there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Stretch out the spear that is in thine hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand." And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city, and the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. And they entered into the city and took it, and hasted and set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven. And they had no power to flee this way or that way, and the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city, and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them, so they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side, and they smote them, so that they let none of them remain or escape. I want to first of all look at a couple of things that are going on here in Joshua chapter 7, 25 and 26. Israel has to lay, they have to get rid of Achan. Achan has committed the sin. They stone him to death, and then they burn it all with fire, all their stuff with fire. And now there are scars from our past failures. There may even be clear memorials in our life of places we cannot go because of our past sins. But understand this, that God has a rich history and blessings for you. You can be pure from your sins. You don't have to be known as a recovering addict or recovering from any sin. You can have complete forgiveness with God. You can have a removal of guilt. In Psalm 103:12, we find, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath removed our transgressions from us. And so we have this wonderful truth, the purification of Achan. Israel gets rid of sin. They've messed up. They've made bad decisions. And now they purify themselves. And God gives a very clear plan here in Joshua chapter 8. And the thing that he says is who to trust. He says, fear not, neither be dismayed. He says, fully trust me. And also that neither be thou dismayed. Don't be disheartened and lowered in your countenance. And if we are to be victorious in our Christian life, God does something with Joshua that is absolutely essential in our life. We must reestablish who God is in our life. He cannot be distant, but he must be near. And not only near, but I must know that he's in control. And God establishes his position, his authority over every situation in my life if I'm willing to allow him to do that. And right after Israel purified themselves of the accursed thing, notice that the communication with the Lord resumes. And as we want that direction and wisdom for life from God, it comes in getting rid of sin and obedience to God. Our surest way to peace and communion with God is through purifying our lives. Next of all, we see a courage with God, a fear not that he says here. And we also find that it is God that comforts us. There's an unbrokenness in God. And if we are to move forward in our walk with the Lord, we have to establish God into his rightful position. As I mentioned, he has to be the leader. We're to find our courage in the Lord. We are not to be dismayed nor broken and shattered in our fears. He gives Joshua some very clear plans. He says, who is he to lead? He's to take all of Israel with him. When is he to act? He's to arise now. Where is he to act? He's to go to Ai. What is he to expect? He is to expect that God will give them the victory. How is he to act? And God gives him very clear direction on how he is supposed to act in his life. Just as before in Israel, Israel was to act in the same fashion and cleanse and purify with fire. Why were they to attack? Well, the rewards were the rewards of obedience. They would get the spoils of war there in Ai. And how were they to secure those rewards? They were lay in ambush. God gives very specific plans. Now, I want to take an interesting thing here, and this is where I picked up. I preached those two points 3-4 weeks ago. And I want to look for this evening at the prominence of Joshua as well as the mistake of Ai. The prominence of Joshua, God very clearly says, take all the people with thee. And he goes on to say, arise. The prominence of Joshua is not of him exalting himself, but him overseeing that Israel, there's some very specific things that Israel needs to do to be victorious. And if Israel will obey him and obey the Lord, they will see the blessings of victory. Sometimes in our plan of recovery from discouragement, you can be discouraged over several things that are going on in life, and we're quick to attempt our own means of encouragement. Joshua shows us a man who realized the error of his ways before. In Joshua chapter 7, Joshua hastily went up to Ai and very haphazardly did so. He went there without a clear plan from the Lord. And after a time of defeat, Joshua encouraged himself in the Lord and he went back and he got instructions from God after this purification. And Joshua was not really that engaged in the battle. Look with me in Joshua chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. And I want to notice, kind of make a comparison a little bit here with respect to Joshua. But in Joshua chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, it reads, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people go to labor. Make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. There went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. He was very haphazard. He was very casual in how he engaged in battle. We have to understand that we cannot be casual in our life. We cannot make casual decisions. We need to go to God and get very clear guidance. Joshua didn't go to God and realize that there was sin in the camp. He didn't realize that there was sin in the midst of all of Israel. There was sin, and he didn't have the wisdom of God as he made decisions. But we find the difference here. When God is talking to Joshua here in Joshua chapter 8, we find in verse 3 of Joshua chapter 8, so Joshua arose. God speaks and Joshua hastily arises. If Israel is going to defeat Ai, they cannot be casual. And I discussed this several weeks ago, but we need our lives in the direction that God has discussed for us. We need to be very specific, carry out God's plans and not our plans for our lives. The Lord is clearly speaking to Israel. And if you're to get victory in your life, you're to move forward for the Lord, you have to be on top of things and you need to be disciplined. Any slack will be seen by the enemy and he's going to find the weakness and he's going to attack you. As we're going to find here as we look at the strategy of Israel and Josh and Ai and the two as they battle. But we find Joshua's not left wondering what to do. He gets rid of sin. He reestablishes relationship with God. And then God gives him very clear direction. Now, if you're going to be hasty in your life, if you're going to make quick decisions, the only hastiness that's going to be good for you is a hastiness to obedience to God. Otherwise, you're going to go wrong. Joshua doesn't waste time. He very promptly arises. And the question I'm going to ask you this evening is, how quickly do you respond to the Lord's leading in your life? How quickly do you respond to the Lord, the authorities that the Lord has placed in your life, the knowledge? Sometimes as we're thinking about our life and here in Joshua, you think about some several things. You think about, how do I know God's will? And am I to go into Ai again? And God very clearly says, fear thou not. And God gives, obviously, there's several things. And just to give you a quick aside on knowing the will of God for your life, with the peace of God, in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, there's three things. And if any one of these three are not in agreement, you're most likely not in the will of God. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's a peace of God. This is the most volatile, obviously subject to our emotions. Number two, you have the Word of God, Psalm 119, 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you're going to be doing something, and here is Joshua doing what God wants him to do, the very clear instructions from God, but if we do something in our life that is against a biblical principle, it's not the will of God. The third thing is a multitude of counselors, as God gives in Proverbs 11, 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. For the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, obviously, Joshua is getting his directions directly from God. You can get no higher counselor. And so these three things, the peace of God, the Word of God, and multitude of spiritual counselors, if you're not in all three of those and they're not right, I would measure to guess that you're not in the will of God. But here is Joshua in the will of God. If you're discouraged, first of all, the first thing you need to do is be purified of any sin in your life. And Joshua and Israel had to be purified to get God's plan and get God speaking to them again. In Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You have to commit first to obedience to God before God's ever going to establish and give you settled thoughts. We'll never be satisfied or settled until we're moving forward to the Lord. We find something, though, in verses 3 through 9, that a scrupulous charge, what I mean by scrupulous, is an extreme attention to detail. Joshua very carefully, notice with me as it says here in verse 3, at the latter portion, and Joshua chose out 30,000 men of valor and sent them away by night. He handpicked 30,000 men. Before they haphazardly chose 2,000 or 3,000, now he's handpicking 30,000 men. We've got to be specific in our lives. We've got to know we're in the will of God. We've got to know that we're doing right. And Joshua doesn't want to mess up. Joshua doesn't want to lose the blessings of God. He wants to move forward. It's the same thing that Jesus would talk about in Luke 14, 28 and 29. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. You need to be scrupulous. Joshua is very careful about how he's living his life. And he gave Israel very exact orders. And to wait till he and his troops had all drawn the men of Israel away from Ai. There's some other things I want to look at this passage and draw out some truths. But this is the truth that as I was studying it and going through this. Actually, this is what I had prepared. Much of this I had prepared before I even left. Be a signal to attack. And Joshua led the way to be those who retreated and looked like chickens all over again. But Joshua was very specific in what he was doing. You know, we need to be specific in our lives. But there's something that happens in our lives. Joshua made a mistake. He was haphazard. He was too quick. He was hasty in his actions before. And 36 men died. Because there was sin and they didn't deal with it. They didn't go to God first. But we're going to see that same thing, not on Israel's behalf. You're going to see it on Ai's behalf. You find a careless foe. You find in verse 6 as well as verse 14, it came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, that Israel's coming against it, they hasted and rose up early. Joshua understands that Ai is proud, they're confident, they're cocky, they're arrogant. They will foolishly leave their city. You understand this, that if we're not doing that in God's will, that Satan will do that with us if we're hasty. Satan will try to get us to make hasty, rash decisions, because he wants to get us alone so he can defeat us. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Ai, they get them out. They hastily run out after Israel. God, Satan wants to get us alone. You can even be like Ai on guard. And Ai was on guard. They were expecting to be attacked. And you can say, well, a person that maybe they hit the gutter and they've hit some hard times in their life, they said, I was on guard. I put up all these standards and these things right and wrong around me. How did I fall? What happened to me? The problem is, you're acted in your own knowledge. And that was the foolishness of Ai. Your enemy knows your weaknesses more than you do. And that's why you need an everlasting God to guard your mind. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Ai allowed their mind and their pride. And we carelessly oftentimes will live for our own lusts, and we behave as those of Ai. In Proverbs 1, turn with me here, I'm going to show you some things that oftentimes what happens in our life, and we are many times like those of Ai. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 16, a wonderful truth from God's Word, but it shows us what the foolish will be willing to do. In Proverbs 1, verses 16 to 19. I want you to notice with me some of the urgency with which these people are acting. In Proverbs 1, 16, for their feet run to evil and make haste, shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They look privily for their own lives, so are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Joshua and Israel was waiting to attack Ai. They knew the weakness of Ai. It was pride and cockiness, hastiness. Even though Ai was on guard, they were looking, they were watching, they were saying, we're going to get them this time, we're going to annihilate them. We carelessly and hastily act, sometimes respond to life without considering the consequences of our actions or those to whom we have been entrusted to protect. Those men, as Israel, and I want to talk about this here in a little bit further, but in Ephesians 6:4 it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A hastiness to emotional reaction. And it leads to devastation. And Ai would respond in anger and wrath and pride, as we will read about, and they were quickly destroyed. They responded to their own wisdom. And even if you do stay back, and even if you do have a plan, and even if you do have precision and care in your life, and you develop a well-thought-out plan of how you're going to act, if you do your strategy against the Lord, you will be destroyed. Guaranteed. Mark it down. You can think of all the ways that you and your family could be attacked by the enemy, but the problem you have is a limited vantage point. Ai did not understand all that was going on. God gave him the very attack plan. And if I am not close to the Lord and I don't have God's plan for life, then the enemy can attack me with a plan that's much further than I can see. Ai could only see what was around their city. They could not see the ambush in the hills. They could not see Joshua picking 30,000 men of valor. They couldn't see the 5,000 men there lying in ambush. They couldn't see that. Yes, you can put a drone in the sky, but you don't know the thoughts and the hearts of men. God does. And if we don't have God's strategy for life, you cannot see the battlefield. As good as your plan may be, you can't see the enemy and you can't see all that he is thinking, but God does. You don't know the mind of the enemy as well as God does. And our proper course of action is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Joshua had to acknowledge that there's a God in heaven that knows how to defeat Ai. And Ai got their counsel. Turn with me to Proverbs 11:14. Proverbs 11:14. Ai got their wisdom and philosophy for battle from themselves. The ruin was great, and I'm going to talk about that here in just a moment, to the families that were destroyed. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. That king hasted in action to draw up a crowd. He would be captured and eventually killed. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety, and Joshua had the greatest counselor of all, who knew everything, and that is God Almighty. Here's some mistakes. I'm going to list. Here's some things as I was going through it that I noted here in Joshua chapter 8 that Ai made some mistakes. Number one, they acted in pride. Your past successes, your past greatness for the Lord, and your past ways that you have served God and honored God and given God the benefit of the doubt and you've served and been obedient does not guarantee future success. Past successes do not mean a certain future victory. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Rod Mattoon says, "Pride, overconfidence, and cockiness led to the destruction of Ai. They made the same mistake as Israel did the first time. They also made the mistake of living in the past. Past victories may not guarantee present victories. Has overconfidence led to defeat or danger in your own life? An overconfident girl may think she can handle the advances of a boy, the kissing, the petting, and hugging, only to later find out that the passion of the flesh is powerful. The overconfidence of a pastor in dealing with women can lead to his destruction. So number one, they acted in pride. Number two, they acted in haste. They quickly assembled an army. As I had mentioned, he that is slow to wrath. As I talked about anger in Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. There was an urgency to action, but there's a neglect of military strategy. Number three, they acted without discernment. The king failed to send scouts out to discern the enemy's whereabouts. They didn't have drones that we have today that you can throw 1,000 feet in the air and begin to get a broader perspective of what's going on. The only perspective that they could have was from their very eyes outside of their city. They acted without discernment. And the king acted in the darkness of wisdom, as Luke 6:39 says, and he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? If you're not walking with God, or there's things in your life, or maybe you're unsaved, and you're trying to follow the unsaved, or you're following carnal believers, you are acting without discernment. And that's what the king of Ai did. In Isaiah 9:16, for the leaders of the people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. As David Sorensen said, Israel was being led into destruction by their own leaders. The spiritual heirs of the land came from the very top. Wicked kings and false prophets were leading them to their doom. They acted without discernment. Number four, they acted without defenses. Here's probably one of the worst things that happened, that all the men of Ai left. In verse 14, it came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, that they hastened, rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people. He acted without any defenses. Kind of like Proverbs 25:28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. If you can't control your thoughts, you can't control your emotions, you're acting without a defense. And you're excuse me, swallowed wrong. You're going to continually be you're going to be continually attacked because you're acting in hastiness. You're acting without a defense. They left all their wives, all their children, all their loved ones, all their belongings, all their businesses, all their careers in AI with no defense. There was a lot of people destroyed because of their wrong actions. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. This is the same thing to happen to King Saul. He left without any defenses. He allowed his emotions of envy, anger, and bitterness to rule him, and in so doing, his family was prematurely killed. His anger even separated his relationship from his son Jonathan. Our enemy Satan and his cohorts are very keen to find our weaknesses, to find the weaknesses of our family. And if I start to wander and you start to wander away from the Lord, and we don't keep a keen and focused eye on the Lord, we're going to suffer the same things ourselves, the same fate as those of Ai. Here's some application of these truths. When we as spouses run ahead to face some obstacle in our life, and we neglect our families, we leave them unguarded and open up to the attacks of Satan. The children will suffer when mom and dad are so busy doing their own thing or busy pursuing hobbies or work and other pursuits over consulting with the Lord for clear direction of life. Some things we need to do, first of all, is we need to surrender. I need to surrender for myself, for my family. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I've got to be watching out for my wife, for her well-being. If I hastily run after these different attacks and these different things going on in my life, I could be leaving my family unguarded. Another thing you also need to do in Colossians 3:19 is forgiveness of your family. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. I need to forgive. When hurts come, I need to forgive. Otherwise, Satan gets a place in my life and I leave myself unguarded in a particular portion of my life. And that's where Satan can attack me. Another thing we also need to do is we need to be spiritually unified as a church, as a family, and your own families. In 1 Peter 3:7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. If there's this unity, there's an opening, and you've failed to allow, you've given room for the enemy to attack. You've opened a gate in the defenses of your life. You also need something else in life. You need submission in your family. In Titus 2:4, that they may teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. There needs to be a submission to authority. Husbands loving their wives, and wives submitting to their husbands and honoring the Lord and serving Him. There needs to be submission. Obedience to God over my own will. Ai had their will. They acted in hastiness and they left themselves unguarded and they were defeated. Their one act of hastiness led to the destruction of their city. Joshua messed up and 36 people died, but he had another opportunity at it. And it very well may be in your life that you can mess up and go in hastiness, and God may give you a second chance, but yet He may not, like Ai. If I act in hastiness outside of the will of God, outside of the direction and guidance of God, I could be destroyed like Ai. And the loss of Ai, the army of Ai, had been outwitted, outduped by Israel under Joshua's obedient leadership to the Lord God Almighty. We behave as Ai in our lives and do not deal with problems in our lives by bringing them to the Lord. The enemy will find a foothold. You may very well lose your homes, lose your kids, if you do not deal with the foe in wisdom, guidance, and the strength of the Lord. As I mentioned earlier, you do not know the heart and the mind and the thoughts of the enemy. But our gracious God does. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 14:6. We're coming to the conclusion this evening here shortly. 1 Samuel 14:6. Jonathan sees the army out there, and he realizes that his father's whole army is scared, and they're not wanting to attack, and they're hemmed into the caves and just hiding out. But Jonathan's like, what in the world's the problem? Jonathan goes in the leadership, he goes in the guidance, he goes in the strength of the Lord, and he knows what he is doing is of God. In 1 Samuel 14:6, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Jonathan knew he went in the strength of the Lord. So as I come to the conclusion this evening, Joshua's mistake at Ai became Ai's mistake. Why? Hastiness, pride, and arrogance. You need to realize there's a real foe. In John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Satan's looking. He's lurking. He's waiting every moment to attack. There at Ai, that king made a fateful decision. We need to learn the lesson from Joshua, as well as the king of Ai's lesson. But I don't want that to be the epitaph of my life, that I committed the very action of the king of Ai, and I was destroyed. Our enemy, he will mess up. If I stay focused on the Lord, if I stay doing what God wants me to do, if I stay within the will of God for my life, the enemy will mess up. And I will not be defeated. Granted, you'll go through hardship. Granted, you'll go through some things in life that are uncomfortable. Israel still had to go to battle. But if we walk in obedience, we can be victorious. And so this evening, please yield to the Lord's instructions and His leaders on how to avoid being a casualty in life. The Lord, He has a great plan for your life. But you will not be able to gain the rewards of the promised land, to the blessings of God for your life, until you're willing to submit to the Lord and the leadership He has placed in your life. There are a lot of landmines you're unfamiliar with, but the God of heaven knows all of these. And so the greatest thing that you can do from the lesson learned is to be in obedience and the will of God. We come to the time of invitation this evening. I really want to challenge you on a lesson learned. Maybe you've made some mistakes in the past. You've been hasty with your actions. And you're saying, you know what? It was painful and I don't want to do that. Maybe God convicted your heart over something this evening. It could be obedience. It could be whatever the case may be. But this evening, I would encourage you, please, 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 don't let the king of Ai's mistake be your mistake. May it be Joshua's mistake. You learn from it, and God gives you the victory. Stay in the will of God, obedient to Him, and watch God do miracles in your life.